May is Military Appreciation Month, celebrating those who are currently serving in the United States military. S&T Bank salutes our military members and wants to thank you for your service. You serve our country. Let S&T Bank serve you with S&T's Armed Forces account featuring no minimum balances or maintenance fees. Plus, free ATMs, checks, and money orders. For more information, stop by a local branch, visit stbank.com, or call 800-325-2265. S&T Bank, member FDIC.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
Is In the Locker Room with Wolf and Starks on ESPN Pittsburgh and Steelers Nation Radio, presented by your neighborhood Ford store. The F-150 is the official truck of the Pittsburgh Steelers.
No word yet. You know, Pickett's still in the concussion protocol, and I'll wait for that, you know, to hear from Coach on that.
And exactly so, Max. That's again Mason talking about the fact there's no word yet, and they're just proceeding. They're going to split some reps. I would think that they're going to do what they did yesterday. We'll go from there. It's still interesting to me where Kenny is in the whole concussion protocol, because if you go back to his first one, that was, 8 weeks ago or something like that. He was able to work the week after while he was going through the protocol. You know, which tells you the ding was not that big a ding. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it was. And this one obviously was hit a little bit different. I hate to use the pun there for hit.
Yeah.
But it was something where Kenny came off and he went to the tent. Then he came back for next series and then he got pulled. So this one was a little bit different than that one the first time. So, you know, definitely one that needs to be monitored a lot more closely.
Right.
Because that hit was a little bit more vicious. You know, he got dumped on that one. He kind of got scoop slammed on that one. And I'm surprised there wasn't a further look, because, you know, he got driven into the ground. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's something I thought they're trying to protect against. But, you know, I digress. It's the league to handle. I'm sure Mike Tomlin submitted that video with some very choice and stern words when he submitted that to the league. So, but it was just, you know, that's just a frustration about it. You hate to have seen that. And at the point in the game, you lose him so early in the game. That was something that, you know, they luckily rebounded a little bit from, but just wasn't enough in the end.
Well, we're going to open up the phone lines. It's 412-919-1316. One of the questions I'm asking out there is, who do you want to see maybe being featured, or who do you think can step up over the course of the next month and give us your opinion on, you know, like for me, I want to see Mark Robinson. You know, I want to see Isaiah Loudermilk. And I know, Max, you got some guys you probably want to see too, but there's some guys that, you know, you look at and you think, can they be contributors? You know, because I look at Robinson and you go, well, you know, he could pay some rent on special teams. I mean, he's one of those special teams bodies that could get the job done. What's the possibilities of that? You know what I mean? So I don't know. That's just something that we can look at and kind of get a little gription on, shall I say.
Yes, gription is always good.
You got to have your gription, man.
Yeah, exactly, because you need it to stick.
You
need it to,
you know who,
to apply, who, to meld. Yes.
You know who I first heard that from? That was from Keith Willis way back in the 80s.
Yeah, hey, listen, but it's such a great versatile word.
It is.
You know, because it can be applied in a multitude of different ways. You could be referring to your cleats on the surface that you're playing on.
Correct.
Right? It could also be to guys sticking around from year to year, you know, gain a little grip instead of traction. I mean, it's a good replacer word. I'm not, you know, I'm a fan. I'm a fan of Gripshin. So we'll take it from there.
Well, but it's like, who was it that ran around the corner and just danced up the sidelines? I was trying to remember, but I almost said, boy, he was Gripshinated there.
Yeah.
You're just using the past tense because he got north and south around the corner.
Well, I mean, Jerome in that Chicago game.
Oh, yeah. Oh, man.
That would have been a good one, right? Because, you know, he was the dancing bear on the sidelines, right?
Yes.
Tightrope walking extraordinaire.
Yep.
He would just get that. But then be able to come back to balance and then drop the shoulder into a defender and blow him over. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, Jerome had excellent Gripshin along the sidelines.
There's
the sentence we can use. There's a sentence we can use.
Oh, by the way, one factoid I wanted to point out about Gentry, and I didn't realize it until I realized I'd missed it in my notes there. But when he was doing a high school quarterback thing, he threw a ball. Yeah. They measured it out 74 yards. Quite the arm there, huh?
That arm, that's a cannon.
That is a cannon, registered. Man. 74 yards.
That's a schnoz rocket right there. Wow. Listen, and here's and full disclosure. Like, I used to go out, you know, pregame when I was a player. And this was my thing, even from college. And I go out, I do my pregame warm-up, but then I'd have to throw the football around a couple times.
Right.
Just because it was, like, just habit. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, the ritualistic nature that we have for warming up. Like, a warm-up wasn't complete unless I was tossing the football around.
Oh, really? See, I never touched that thing. We never went out early. You know, we just hung out in the locker room.
You can't be afraid of the football, Wolf. Even though you're not, your job designation and your job title does not say touch. But if you get into a fumble situation, I'll never forget this. So here's story time real fast. So it was my junior year. It was my junior year. Sorry. It was my junior year. And we are at Auburn.
Okay.
And we're in a tight game, very similar to the Steelers one. Except we had the ball at the end of the game. And we had all verticals trying to throw a Hail Mary. Well, Rex Grossman was our quarterback. Rex gets forced out of the pocket. And I'm blocking. He throws the ball backwards.
Say what?
Every lineman's nightmare, right? I pick the ball up. I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to try and chuck this thing. Bad news is, Wolf, I have, you know, the thumb cups that you put on and then you tape them up.
Right, right.
I have thumb cups on. So guess who can't grip the football? This guy.
Yes.
So what do? I decide, you know what? I can run it, and then I'll pitch it to somebody.
Oh, no.
That is the idea that I had in my head. I'm running it. Now, mind you, this is like 85 plays into the game.
Right.
My legs are jello. My mind is sharper than my body is right now. And so I'm running, and I'm like, there's nobody to toss this ball to yet. So I'm still running. I look backwards, sorry. And one of my best friends, Shannon Snell, is behind me. I turn to look at him, and he gives me that look off. Don't throw it to me. And then I turn forward, and I get my legs completely chopped from underneath me.
Oh.
And it was spectacular. I went over end over end. You know, like you see in those Highlander games when the guys have, like, the big logs and trying to balance it in their palms, and then they try and flip it. Yeah, that's what happened to me. But you know what the final stat line was, though?
What's that?
I led our team in rushing that day with 2 yards.
Wait a minute, 2 yards?
2 yards, two whole yards.
Wait a minute.
Because he threw it, because Rex threw it like 10 yards behind the line of scrimmage.
Oh, my goodness.
So I had to run those 10 yards to get us back to zero.
Oh, you poor man. You know, 10 whole yards.
Yeah, and then I got 2 yards beyond that, and then just got completely just timbered. It was, and so yeah. So if you look back on that Auburn game, we were in Jordan-Hare Stadium, and I'm on the stat line and rushing Max Starks 2 yards.
One attempt. Well, so you're like my brother. If you need 2 yards, I'll get you 2 yards. If you need 4 exactly. yards, I'll get you 2 yards.
yeah, exactly. It just depends on how far behind the line of scrimmage you're throwing it. But
there
I'm
you
good
go.
For those 2. I'm good for 2 positive yards.
One time we were playing, who was it? It was Tampa Bay. It was Hugh Green. I think it was Tampa. I think Hugh played, yeah. And we ran a screen pass, and Teddy Peterson was the left tackle. I'm the left guard, and Mike Webster is the center. We go out there. Webby takes – he's got the nose tackle lined up. Ted goes out there for the kick out, and the ball is fumbled by the back, right? Teddy picks it up, and that was his first mistake. His second mistake was he tried to run with it, and as he picked it up and turned to run with it because his back was too, you know, upfield – he turned around, and Hugh Green had a 10-yard run at him. Hugh Green was a defensive end, played for Pitt here, and then had a number of great years in the NFL. But he hit Teddy so hard. You know, one of those Doppler hits, you know, where the sound goes from one ear to the other, as Tunch Ilkin used to say? You know, it was like, kapawah, you know? And Teddy's laying on the ground, and he's groaning, and Mike Webster's standing over him as Hugh Green walks away, and he goes, Teddy, don't you know you're just supposed to fall on the ball? What are you doing? What are you doing trying to run with it?
Thanks. It's like I appreciate that. In this moment, you wanted to point that out. Yeah. I really appreciate it. Yeah.
I can't feel anything.
Yeah.
I'm a little numb right now.
I have no legs right now, and you want to talk about my running. Thank you.
Yeah, you're going to sit there and critique my running while I'm sitting here and I'm just got plastered? Oh, man.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, no, that's just.
That's no good. But, yeah. Okay.
But anyways, yeah.
Moving along, give me somebody that maybe, you know, you want to see step out and start to step up a little bit.
You know, a guy I would love to see step out and start a little bit, Connor Hayward. I'd love to see more meatball. I want to see he could, because in the last 2 weeks he's come up with some very big grabs.
He has.
Touchdown down in Atlanta.
Yep.
And then, of course, that one in the red zone to set up the Pratt Freiermuth touchdown. It was like a skyscraper grab. You know what I'm saying? Like it was a huge one. I would love to see Connor Hayward get some more opportunities. Does that mean 13 personnel? Well, then that just means 13 personnel.
Yep.
You know, load the big bodies in there. Let them know you're coming. And guess what? Honk the big rig horn too on the way. Let them know we're coming. I would love to see Connor with a couple more opportunities. I think he's done such a great job. He's so versatile. You know, being able to play that fullback,
right,
H-back / tight end position. You know, he's a willing blocker, but also he's a really good pass catcher as well. I would love to see Connor get a shot. Let me also remind our listeners that want to call in, the phone line number, because I know we'll tease this, 412-919-1316, so that you can call in. I mean, obviously we have a lot of regulars that listen, so they know the number. They probably have it programmed in their phones. But for any new ones, we wanted to make sure I got that out there as well.
Very
we
good.
Also want to hear their input on this. But Connor Hayward's one. I think I'm in agreement with you, Wolf, about Mark Robinson. I thought what he did in the preseason, you know, obviously was enough to keep him on this squad and protect him from anybody else poaching him off the practice squad. But I would love to see some live action, because I feel like he has edge rush capabilities from the linebacker position. And being a former running back like a Miles Jack, he offers a very different perspective. It's very unique. And I would love to see him get a chance to kind of put that on display and see if he could put his hand in the pile and help us win. So those would be my 2, one offense and one defense.
You know, I was intrigued.
What do you think of that?
Well, I'm intrigued by Connor. You know, I mean, the more you watch Connor Hayward, the more you get intrigued with his skill set that is so, you know, it's got a lot of variety to it. You know, because you think about it, Derek Watt, I think, is going to be a free agent next year. Connor could also suffice to fulfill that position too. You know, because he could be a lead fullback, he could be an H-back, he can be an inline tight end, any of those things he's capable of doing. You know, and I you know, I hope he's not offended about it, but you know, the Meatball Express, that was amazing down in Atlanta to see. It was amazing last week when he went up high and made that grab. He has got some God-given, excellent pass route running capabilities and sensibilities. He does a nice job. I mean, he just seems to find those gaps. And you got to me, you know, I like what you say, because I think he can be a contributor, and he is a contributor on the special teams as well. So certainly I think that's something that, you know, bears, you know, watching over the coming month. And I go back to, you know, more of George Pickens. Pickens has got an opportunity down the stretch here where I think it's, you know, he can really stamp, you know, himself as being a rising superstar.
Yeah, no, I think he can, and it's, you know, when you're talking about your rookies you bring in, right? This is that time of year where you want to kind of see how they project into the future.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why I think with us mentioning a lot of these names come down to really rookie guys, and seeing how you've utilized and deployed this recent draft class and what they're doing in the season to help the team. I think that's always one of those marks we're always looking at. Okay, well, who's the retention crew? Who's the guys that we're going to look to have greater roles next year? So we want to see some of that this year, because obviously this year you're trying to end the last quarter on a high note into the offseason. Whatever happens postseason, albeit – the first thing is you have to win these games.
Right.
But what you can do in that process, as though you're trying to find those different ways to create momentum, to create a victory opportunity, is utilizing guys in different roles and changing things up. Things that the other team has not seen, especially when you're talking about second time matchups in Cleveland and Baltimore, right?
Right, correct.
You know, what are you going to do different from the first time to affect the outcome the next time? And so that's why I think when we're looking at George Pickens and targets that he might assume or at least draw attention for, talking about Connor Hayward and using him a little bit more than you use him, and obviously he's progressed to getting those opportunities, but also Mark Robinson, who's been a healthy scratch this season. Like, all of them have these capabilities that we want to see on display, as well as some of our second year guys and some younger guys. You know, you just want to see, what do you have in the tank, right?
Right.
We talked about DeMarvin Leal as well. I mean, that's
another
that's a
guy.
Handful.
Yes.
Yeah, that's another guy where we started to see it, and that elephant in LaVon Kirkland type role, and then of course he gets on IR, but now he's back off of it. Chris Wormley's now on IR, so there's an opportunity there to see more DeMarvin Leal. Whereas I think it's tougher to find for Mark Robinson, because you still have healthy linebackers that are in the lineup and contributing on a down-by-down basis.
No doubt about it. I mean, Marcus Allen is a contributor. I mean, you know, you watch him on the special teams. He's a core four guy. He does a good job, a very good job. And, you know, the interesting thing is just to find out where Mark is on the inside linebacker bit. Because you know that Devin is going to be a free agent next year. You know, and whether Steelers bring him back or not, that's something to be determined. If it would be, you know, something where later on, like with Terrell Edmonds, when they bring him back after initially not doing anything. You know, so we'll see. We'll see where he's at. But DeMarvin Leal is another guy that's interesting, because he showed some great abilities playing that elephant end. But now they got him putting his hand in the dirt, you know, going from a three-point, and again, it's a chance for him to show and grow in a position that, you know, you can take him one offseason. He's going to be one of those guys that makes that second-year jump, because he partially made that jump this year.
Yeah, no, he definitely did, and I think, let me figure out how to word this. It's the necessity of growth.
Yeah.
Is that a good way of saying it?
That'll work.
The necessity of growth that you want to see from guys. Because every year, especially early on in your first four, 4 years or so, there has to be jumps.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes leaps.
Yeah.
You know, but you want to see those jumps happen. And then after that, it's the steady ascending arrow.
Yep.
So right now we're in the jump period. The other time now it's just steady Eddie. But those first 4 years are really important, you know, when you're talking about a guy who could be a long-term contributor. You've got to see the jump from year one to year two to year three, and then year three to year four. There is a jump. It might not be as big as the first three, but it's a jump still in production or time on the field, reps earned. Like, all of those things kind of matter into the equation.
Exactly so. And now the equation says it's time to go.
Break time. All right, we're going to step aside again. We're in the locker room. He's Wolf. I'm Starks. Ninja Jacob in the back. You're on SNR and ESPN Radio.
If everyone has lemonade stands, I think we can do it. These inspiring words were expressed by Alex Scott, the little girl who was battling childhood cancer and decided to have a lemonade stand in her own backyard to help fundraise for a cure. In honor of Alex and everyone fighting this disease, join S&T Bank June 1st through the 8th at all bank branches for Lemonade Days. Enjoy treats and activities. Help us support research, awareness, and hope for these children and families in need. Let's make people our purpose and build a brighter future together. S&T Bank, member FDIC.
This is In the Locker Room with Wolf and Starks on ESPN Pittsburgh and Steelers Nation Radio, presented by your neighborhood Ford store. The F-150 is the official truck of the Pittsburgh Steelers.
All right, welcome back, everybody. We're going to go right to the phones. The number is 412-919-1316. We've got Curious George. Curious George, you're in the locker room.
That is Circus George. What do you mean, curious? I'm never curious.
You know what? I misread it. I misread it. My bad. How you doing, George?
Oh,
haven't seen you.
Good.
Excuse him, George. I apologize.
I know. I come right out of the break and I screw it up.
It's all good. So I'm kind of in Max's old stomping ground. I'm going to Lakeland to pick up a patient from Lakeland Regional Hospital at the moment. So it's rainy and it's gray and it reminds me of Pittsburgh, but it's much warmer. It's 75. I'm coming up for Christmas, and I'm going to the Raiders game. I'm going to be in the stands for the Raiders game. I cannot wait to watch. Even if the team stinks, I cannot wait to watch. So
beautiful.
Who do I want to see play?
Yes.
I want to see a lot more of KZ, or Kamikaze, as you like to call him.
Oh, yes.
Yes, yes. Kamikaze is a good one.
A question that needs to be answered is Green, our starting center from last year, actually an NFL player. He needs to get in there and play. Other, you know, cut bait or fish.
Well, the problem
that
with that
happen.
Yeah, but here's the problem right now. You got Mason Cole, an established starter. You got a guy who's all season long has been pulling the sled from the front.
Right.
You know, that's that right now. To me, that's not something you can just jump into right now. You know, not along
that,
the same lines.
Not even. Not being even active, he couldn't be brought in as a jumbo back on a short yardage. That's really bad. That's saying something about a guy when you played the whole rookie year and you can't even come in as a backup guard or something.
Well,
inactive.
Let me put it this way. I'm watching practice all season long. I've watched this young man regroup and reload and come fighting back. And he's got some shortcomings in his game, but he's addressing them. He's working hard. And I watched him yesterday. They did some extra one-on-ones at the end of practice. He was kicking butt. And I'm serious.
Great. That's
you know?
Great.
Now the point is, right now you're not going to disrupt what's going on with the line and hopefully their development
that.
As they move forward. But I still like the kid. I still like what he presents.
Well, I'd like to see him at least active, so if they had a short yard situation, they could bring him in. But if you're not even active, I mean, come on, guys.
Well,
get him active, get him out there, you know, as the sixth guy when you're in short yard back.
But
yeah, I'm not a coach.
Yeah, hey.
What do I know?
We need somebody like Max, the 6'8 guy. You know, I mean,
there we go again.
Kendrick is about as big as I
am. Mr. Pot calling the kettle black. Yeah, as Wolfie is so slim and svelte. Oh, jeez. I mean, really, guys.
Yeah. How bad was that? I didn't even think about that.
Thank you, George. Thank you. Thank you, George, for defending my honor in that one.
But, anyways, but I'll be thinking about you when I'm in town, and it's a big city, but you never know. We might bump into each other.
You never know. Absolutely, brother.
Absolutely.
All right,
George,
thank you so much.
Safe on the road down there in Lakeland, Dreadnought County.
You know, that Circus George, Max, that is the guy who, he was a circus performer throughout his young life. I mean, he will tell you stories about, you know, just trooping along with the troops as they go from state to state and everything like that, and three performances a day in Madison Square Garden or whatever. I mean, it was just, and he's married into the Walenda family. You remember those tightrope walkers?
Oh, exactly. Whoa. The flying Walendas, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, do you remember when Nick Walenda went over the Niagara Falls Gorge?
Dude, there was some epic videos.
That was unbelievable.
Back in the day. Yeah, no, stuff I would never attempt, Wolf.
Are you kidding me? You know, I mean, I watched him. Now, and also because, you know, I have family, I'm from, you know, Buffalo. And so going back there a few years ago, we went over to the Canadian side. And on the Canadian side was the remnants of one of the big stanchions where, you know, they tied the cable to on the Canadian side. You know what I mean? And it stretched over to the American side. I mean, it was crazy because they had a piece of cable there from when Nick Walenda had walked across the Niagara Falls Gorge. And as a monument, like, to that moment, you know, they got a plaque on it and everything. It was pretty crazy, man.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's something, like I said, I will never attempt in my life, but I can look with my eyes and appreciate others that can do that.
Yes, from afar.
Yeah, no. from very firm ground and footing afar.
Like, absolutely.
Like I can, you know, because I went to the Niagara Falls as a kid on one of our family reunions. And, you know, you can go a little bit up north and kind of, you know, there's a stream, you know, we go fishing and all that kind of stuff. Yeah, yeah. Once it came time to look at the water and then you're getting closer to that edge area, had to turn away. Had to turn it down. Nope. Because my mind, my soul already went over and saw everything and came back and reported to me.
All right, let's move on. We got Everett. Yeah, let's get Everett in the locker room here, buddy.
All right.
Hey, how
what's
you
up,
doing?
Everett? Doing good. Doing good. How are
good,
you?
Good to hear you guys' voices.
Very good.
Hey,
yeah,
same
here.
My more reps, more plays is obviously Pickens. I just don't think we're utilizing him enough.
Mm.
But barring anything with Kenny this week, I'd love to see Mason get a shot as well. I think he can do it.
I would agree with you. Max, what do you say about that?
Well, I'm in the same boat here, Everett. I think I would love to see Mason have a shot at it. I think he's earned it, so to speak. And I think that when you're looking at creating different options, creating the mystique that Mike Tomlin is trying to create, I think that's it would be a good smoke and mirrors because – like you said, in spot duty last year, we talked about this earlier from last year going in when Ben had the COVID designation and could not be active on game day against the Detroit Lions. You know, you throw Mason in there with short reps, short opportunity, and he throws the ball 50 times in a game that strictly said run the football and maybe throw some quick now passes, a couple of screens in there. He chucked the ball around the field, around the yard 50 times with a 60% completion percentage. So I think Mason is primed and ready to be able to come in and handle this responsibility if chosen. I would love to see it. And like you said, maybe they could bring some preseason magic like when he threw that touchdown pass in the corner to George Pickens. Maybe that could come back into action just for one game.
It was beautiful. I still remember it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
All right.
Thanks for taking my call and doing your show, guys.
Appreciate you, Everett. Don't be a stranger, buddy. We appreciate you having in the locker room here. Absolutely. Ninja Jacob, was that Lawrence? We got Lawrence up next. Lawrence, welcome to the locker room, my friend.
Hey, how y'all doing? You doing okay?
Doing okay.
Doing
Listen, I enjoyed the show. I'm in Waynesboro, North Carolina. We're playing the Panthers this weekend.
Oh,
my
yeah.
cousin, DJ Moore, plays for the Panthers, though. I'm going to have my Pittsburgh gear on. I will have something representing the Panthers just for him. But I appreciate everything that Coach Tomlin and the guys are doing. They're a young team. You can call it rebuild, not rebuild. That's not in his DNA. He wants to win. So you're not going to hear him say rebuild. He's going to reload.
Yes.
But it's just in his DNA to do what he's doing. So thank you so much. And just
hey,
thank
Lawrence,
you so much. Thank
before you go, wait, before you go, you say your cousin is DJ Moore?
Yes, sir, DJ Moore.
Okay, how are you a Pittsburgh fan and not a fan of the Panthers?
I've been pulling for Pittsburgh ever since 1972 when they first played Minnesota. I have so much memorabilia from Pittsburgh. It's just hard for me to get rid of all of them. And I just love the team and the coach. I just love it, man.
That's beautiful. That's
me,
that's
Joe what... Green, LC Greenwood, Holmes. I can tell. I could name all of them for you.
Who's your favorite all-time Steeler? If you had a Mount Rushmore of Steelers, who would you throw in there? Are you there? Did we lose you, Lawrence? I think we lost him.
I think we lost him.
Oh, it's too bad. You know what? Because I'm always
fascinated. That was a good question.
Yeah, well, I'm fascinated by, you know, people that, you know, why are you a Steelers fan? When you talk to Steelers Nation, when you get out there and, you know, kind of find out what the connecting points in time and their history, their family, you know, it's a lot of fun to enjoy. And, you know, him just talking about the history of the Steelers, how he's followed it for so long that though he's got family on another team, that he's still a loyal, you know, dyed-in-the-wool Steelers fan. It's just kind of fun.
Yeah, no, I mean, and that's one of the things that I love about Steelers Nation is that, you know, places will pull you away from Pittsburgh, or you'll have that affinity, that moment that you can say, I became a Steelers fan.
Right.
And even if family go elsewhere and are represented, such as Lawrence with DJ Moore being his cousin, they got to pull for it. Just like my pop. I mean, my pops, right?
Right.
I mean, he's an Ohioan through and through. He was a Cincinnati Bengal.
Right.
And yet he would come to a game wearing my jersey. You know yes. what I'm saying? You know, that those are the things that, you know, I love it, but he always has to have his jabs about the Bengals.
Oh, of course.
He's like, well, back in my day, you know, the way this series is going, you know, it went a different way when I played. I said, I'm sure it did, Dad. And I'm sure. And he's like, you know, if you lined up a tackle, I'd probably beat. I said, I'd probably choke you too, Dad.
Well, what are you gonna do?
But that's what I love about the sport, because it brings people together in uncommon circumstances and different backgrounds, and even if there is some, you'll find a compromise to get through the game. But you know, at the end of the day, as soon as that game's over, if there is some type of tie to the other team, you kind of get over it. Just like you see households, right?
Right.
Where you'll see people that are married. One's a Ravens fan, one's a Steelers fan, or one's a Bengals fan. The other one's a Cleveland. You know, it's like, you know, love knows no bounds. I mean, at the end of the day, but you know, it's just funny that you see like the house divided. Like I love that down where I grew up in Florida. You know, because you'd have somebody who went to FSU and somebody who went to Florida, or somebody who went to Miami and another one went to Florida State. You know, you'd have this house divided. You know, one game a year, we couldn't be friends. Hell, it happens to my cousin Travis Johnson, because he played at FSU and I went to Florida. There was a whole mix-up there about where we were going. And so my mom and my aunts would be like, well, we got to split this in half. Well, half of us has to cheer for one of you. You know, and they would base it off of the home game. The home team would be how they'd have to do it. but yeah, it's a beautiful thing, football, and what it brings, you know, for us and for people, because it's just different. It hits differently in your soul, and that fandom, whatever's going on in the outside world, doesn't matter. You're in a silo for those 3 hours where you get to root for your team, or you get to root against the opponent. And it's the memories that you create off of that makes it special.
Absolutely. But it's that time again, Max.
I know you are a little Molly clock watcher right now.
You know,
jeez,
no,
you
just
because
I got it in my ear. The ninja was Yeah.
Oh, okay. See, I don't get that. I think Jacob's scared of me. So it's cool. No, hey, it's cool.
You know what? He fears nobody. He's a ninja.
Oh, that is true. That is true. He works in a cloak of darkness. That's why he delivers his messages through you. That's right. Hey, listen. Political sabotage, right? You know, they got to get it somehow.
Hey, guys, I have a mic now. I mean, we can't just keep coming after me. I know Max tried to throw me under the bus last week with the Presley Harvin bit, but I got the mic now. You can't just throw me under the bus anymore.
There
I'm not
going to
lay over like that.
I knew it was coming sooner or later.
Got to punch back. You always got to test the ninjas, right? Make sure the skills are sharp. That's all it is.
We attack, you know, when you think you've had your last hit on us, we attack when you least expect it. You were just coming at me. I was going to wait until you were done, and then there I was, ready for the rebuttal.
I love it. All right. Well, now that I've been straightened out, we're going to go ahead and step aside, trying to avoid some ninja stars and blowguns during the break. You're in the locker room with Wolf and Starks on SNR and ESPN Radio.
This is In the Locker Room with Wolf and Starks on ESPN Pittsburgh and Steelers Nation Radio, presented by your neighborhood Ford store. The F-150 is the official truck of the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Well, the Bell Lap coming up, Max, taking a look at Carolina. They've won two games in a row in three of their last four. This is their first winning streak since starting 3-0 to begin the 2021 season. But the Panthers are 4-3 at home this year and 4-4 under interim head coach Steve Wilks. You know, it starts at quarterback. Both teams have got one of these crazy quarterback situations. You look at Carolina, they've had four different quarterbacks throwing a pass this year. But right now it looks like Sam Darnold's the guy. He has yet to throw an interception, but he's only thrown 43 passes in his two starts. That's crazy.
Yeah, that is it's a low amount. It lets you know that this team likes to run the football, Wolf.
Yes. Well, we had to get around to that, didn't we?
Yeah, we did. We did have to get around to that. But like you said, out of the ashes, Sam Darnold's still there.
Yes.
Through all the fire and the smoke and the sales and ship-offs, Sam Darnold's still a Carolina Panther. He outlasted Baker Mayfield. He's there in the aftermath of post Christian McCaffrey, and they're like you said, they're still in position for a playoff run. It wasn't by accident that they got this two game win streak going, but at the same time, this is a challenge. One of the things though, Wolf, I do look to is that the locale seems to be a very amenable locale for the Pittsburgh Steelers and the Steelers Nation. Just as we took over Mercedes-Benz Stadium in Atlanta, Georgia.
Right.
I have a sneaky suspicion, Wolf, that there might be a good contingent of Steelers fans in the audience there in Charlotte, especially when you know the history and the connection of the Carolina Panthers to the Pittsburgh Steelers. Obviously, when they were founded, it was through the help of the Rooneys to get Mr. Richardson there, get a team in the Carolinas.
Mm-hmm.
And now, of course, a former Steelers investor and Dave Tepper is now the owner of said team. And we seem to do well with guys who had the affiliation and location, because that means that there are Steeler fans lurking in the Carolinas waiting for an opportunity to strike, just like a Panther, but in black and gold.
Yes, exactly. So, look, this
that was
is
a good, that was a good scene set. That was a good.
It
scene
was.
Set. We need to log that one. We need to log that.
That was very nice. Very nice indeed. You know, I look at these guys, and we'll get deeper into tomorrow and so forth. But Derek Brown is obviously a serious guy up front. But that Brian Burns, defensively speaking, he's a guy that 10.5 sacks, 28 tackles. He's got a forced fumble. He's not the biggest guy, 6'5", 250 in his fourth year, but he's a guy who's got a motor.
Brian Burns has a motor, and listen, we're talking about houses divided. He's also a Florida State Seminole.
Is he really?
Yeah, yep, yep. He went to Florida State. He terrorized my Gators.
Ah, okay.
So, yeah, so I've seen a lot of Brian Burns. And the one thing that, you know, Brian, he possesses, he has a great feel and knack for body mechanics. So if you're going to be up against him, you must stay to balance.
Mm-hmm.
You must maintain the half-man relationship on him. Because the second you start to lean a little bit to the outside or you get squared up with him and you give him a two-way go, it's tough sledding. It's tough sledding because he has the moves in the move tree that he can disengage from you. Whether it's a shimmy to the outside and then swim back to the inside, mm-hmm. whether it's a rip off the edge, speed to long arm stab. Like, he has the full complement of moves that make it very tough. So as a tackle, you've got to have both your feet underneath you as you're shuffling into position. And also you have to deliver solid strikes. You can't allow him into the body. You know, he's going to want to test you early with a bull rush, but at the same time, you have to be able to be stout and turn that bull rush away on the first glance, because if not, he's going to come back with it. If he feels he can uproot you, which meaning getting you off the ground with your feet, mm-hmm. where you have to get into that bull hop press,
right?
Or you're one leg in the ground and you turn into like a turnstile, like that. That's when it becomes problematic, and that's where he's kind of thrived is getting offensive tackles off balance.
You know, the hardest thing is that when a guy gets his body up alongside you throwing that uppercut, and they try to uproot you. You got to really – I always used to punch the hip with my free arm, because I'd punch them right in the hip, because as soon as they tried to get alongside so they could uproot you, if you punch that hip, they can't beat you. You know, if you make sure that you lock out on that near hip on the guy. And of course, making sure he doesn't spin, because that can lead to a spin too.
Well, and the biggest thing is, like you said, when you come with that rip and you're kind of pressing the edge, the other thing is, Wolf – where that hand is
mm-hmm.
on the chest plate. So as you feel it in that hand, you have to make sure that elbow doesn't flare. So you have to clamp that elbow down as well if you're the offensive lineman. Because if you flare it, that's when he can get up underneath the armpit.
Absolutely.
So the biggest counter, like you said, is clamping that elbow down, which then, of course, locks the guy in place. I'm not going to say holds. Locks a guy in place. And then, like you said, you use that offhand to manipulate that hip. It's either punch the hip, palm thrust and hit into the hip and force him wider, because if you don't, that's when you start to rotate and spin. And that's mm-hmm. when the corner gets a lot shorter. So you have to make sure that you're being adamant about forcing your hip towards his hip while forcing his hip out while clamping the elbow down. Like look at that. We just held a clinic. Did we just hold a clinic?
Well, sometimes this is what happens when you got two old hogs talking about the finer points of pass protection versus an uprooting, uppercut jabroni who's pass rushing trying to make your life miserable.
Yeah, exactly. And I think everybody got a visual, so I want you to go in the backyard, everyone, and go try that technique. Children are preferable. You don't want to get your wife out there, your spouse.
No. That can be too confrontational, you know?
It can. And listen, nobody wants to sleep on the couch tonight, okay? Nobody wants to sleep on the couch. Because you hit the hip too hard, and then it leads to an argument, or you clamp down too far on the elbow. You know, let's avoid that. But take some mental reps today, you know? You're walking out. You're like, it's miserable weather. What would I do if somebody was attacking me with a rip move? That's the type of thought process. Yeah, that's all we need.
It's like Jason Bourne at offensive tackle. You know, you got to make sure that you pre-plan your movement. You know, you got to understand that if you punch that hip, they can't get by you. Just remember that. You know,
nope, they can't. They can't. Where the hip goes, so does the body.
Now you have to be careful they don't run over you. But
that is true. But we're talking about edges. We're talking about edges. We didn't talk straight down the middle. You got to brace. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
You got to dip the hips low, and you got to get into you reestablish your base. You know, but I had this mental injury imagery of guys going out like, "Hey, babe, I was listening to the radio. I just want to try something out here. Come on out here in the yard."
Okay, we're going to have to do a marriage clinic to make up for that tomorrow.
Exactly. We have to do counseling sessions.
Counseling session.
412-919-1316.
This is Dr. Max. I'm here to solve your problems. You know?
Exactly.
I told don't pass rush with your bride, okay?
Do not. That is not something. And then if you get beat, you'll never hear the end of it as well.
Well, that's true too.
So there's like there's a balancing pride here that you have to manage.
Oh, could you imagine that one? That would be bad.
That's right. She gets the rip move and then she just slides the corner on him. Yeah, that would be bad. You fall over. It's not good. Anywho. That's the bell lap.
That's the bell lap there.
Jeez, we finished out the show. Another great one, Wolf. If you missed any of our show, go ahead and download it on the iHeart mobile app the iHeart Radio app or the Steelers mobile app or wherever else you get podcasts. You can tune in to not only our show, but we got the Standard with Tom and Jacob. Hello, Jacob. And then we also have the Steelers Blitz with Wes and Motes. And we have plenty of other shows that you can download. The Godfather dropped a podcast today. He drops them every Tuesday and Thursday as well. So go check out our whole SNR family of shows and podcasts. They're right there available at your disposal wherever podcasts are available. You've been listening to The Locker Room. Same bat channel, same bat time tomorrow. You've been in The Locker Room with Wolf, Starks, Ninja Jacob today. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Take care.
May is Military Appreciation Month, celebrating those who are currently serving in the United States military. S&T Bank salutes our military members and wants to thank you for your service. You serve our country, let S&T Bank serve you. With S&T's Armed Forces account featuring no minimum balances or maintenance fees. Plus, free ATMs, checks, and money orders. For more information, stop by a local branch, visit stbank.com, or call 800-325-2265. S&T Bank, member FDIC.
I'm so excited to tell you JCPenney and country music singer-songwriter Walker Hayes are partnering together on a new limited-time men's collection for the everyday guy. What I love about Walker Hayes is his laid-back nature. He's a family man and being a country megastar while also having 7 kids. You know he likes to keep his style cool and casual. This new collection is perfect for the guy living the t-shirt life or someone wanting some fresh options that feel just as good. It's easy to wear, affordable styles that celebrate the ultimate family man, along with the quality, durability, and sensibility dads appreciate. Available online Saturday, May 4th at jcp.com and in-store Thursday, May 16th. Just in time for Father's Day. Limited time only. JCPenney, make it count.